This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shunning and Julian. 7:37 in the morning today, and in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Koo Chuan Zen, founder and CEO of Plus Solar. So amid a growing global awareness of climate change and the need for sustainable sources of energy, solar power initiatives are getting a boost from governments around the world. So this morning, we're going to be speaking with Koo Chuan Zen of Plus Solar on how he sees the green energy movement in Malaysia and the potential market for photovoltaic solutions. So that's happening after the 8 o'clock news. Be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, though, we are taking a look at the tech sector this morning because it's no secret that markets have seen better, less volatile days, especially when you look back to 2019 in comparison. So after shaking off the trade war and Brexit, the equity market bull run seems to have met its match.
Well, Dow Jones is down about 20% and both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ also around 20% down as the COVID outbreak dampens sentiment, disrupting global supply chains and sinks tourism. Governments all over the world are coming into action to stimulate the economy.
Of course, added to that, oil prices have become the new threat to markets, creating even more uncertainty. So tech stocks, the general driver behind the bull run last year, have not been spared here, particularly amid concerns around the supply chain disruption and supply shocks. And we have subsequently seen cuts to earnings forecasts due to the cloudiness around as to whether supply chains can ever come back to normal.
So for a view of the sector and the impact of COVID-19, we speak this morning to Jonathan Curtis, Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Franklin Templeton. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. Good morning. The COVID-19 outbreak has seen a spike in infected cases globally and has now been declared a pandemic by the WHO. So what impact do you see this having on the tech and the IT sector in the short term?
Well, good morning and thank you for having me. Certainly, we're long-term investors, and we think the space is great with excellent growth and many high-quality businesses to own. But certainly in the near term, there's definitely going to be impacts both on the supply side and on the demand side. On the supply side, the good news is that after really heroic efforts by the Chinese government to contain the outbreak, they seem to have had a positive impact, and we're starting to see manufacturing employees and companies come back online in China, and that's positive for anybody who's building hardware in China, PC manufacturers, server manufacturers, smartphone manufacturers, Microsoft, Apple, all are starting to see their supply chains come back online. So that's positive. It's also positive for the companies that are in, or the countries that are not China, and we're increasingly seeing manufacturers are looking to other countries to do their manufacturing to help balance geographic risk. Now, on the demand side, I think we're in the early stages of seeing a pretty significant demand shock, which could go on for a while as we start seeing the virus spread around the world, most notably in Europe and in the United States, where a lot of IT demand comes from. So certainly we've been paying very, very close attention to the penetration curves and the diffusion curves in the various countries around the world. But the equation's pretty simple. We're seeing industry conferences getting canceled. That means reduced sales pipelines. We're seeing fewer salespeople flying around. That means fewer deals are getting done. And it means people are working from home, which means probably a little less productivity in all sorts of business processes. So that's going to disrupt demand here for the next 3 to 6 months as countries work on really getting things contained. We're seeing the early stages of that working in South Korea. That's very encouraging, and Italy is taking strong steps to do that, and I believe that we're going to start seeing really strong containment steps here in the U.S.
When you talk about containment, a lot of the economic stimulus packages that are coming out today are meant to spur people to go out there and buy things, things like tax breaks, tax reliefs, and so on. And also central banks are slashing interest rates, which might or might not make the banks lend to corporations, and corporations might not even go on and do their capex spending. So from the viewpoint of government policy, do you think that this is enough to make people go out there and buy stuff, especially tech gadgets and so on?
Yeah, I think that you know, coming into this, the global economy, particularly the U.S. and Europe, were in really good shape. So I don't think making money cheaper or making the supply of capital more readily available is really going to address the issue. You've got to get the social distancing that's being implemented in Italy and South Korea and other major economies around the world. You've got to solve that problem. And the way you solve that problem is you get the virus to spin itself out and for people to develop herd immunity and get to a point where we hopefully have a vaccine. That is what will allow people to start engaging with one another more and then ultimately leading to commerce and IT demand. So those are super important.
And, you know, we've had this other added element of oil price war this week. So considering all things, and since you manage portfolios, what adjustments have you made to your strategies or allocations overall?
Yeah, so we haven't made any adjustments as a result of the oil shock to the portfolio. But certainly, you know, the oil services industry is a big buyer of tech. They've been investing in digital transformation, so we're going to see some of those investments slow. Our base case assumption right now is that Saudi Arabia and Russia ultimately reach some sort of truce with one another and we go back to fully functioning OPEC. But certainly right now, we're not there yet. But certainly this will result in reduced demand in the oil services industry.
So, Jonathan, particularly with COVID-19 in mind, what sectors, which areas would be your top picks?
Yeah. So, our portfolio is built around this big idea of digital transformation and then this notion that enterprises are in the early days of using data and software to better understand their customers and business processes. But, along with that theme are employees working more closely with one another using digital tools. So any companies that are engaged in helping businesses allow their employees to collaborate more tightly with one another, use video conferencing solutions, enable work from home, enable remote and distance learning, they're all going to do very, very well. So a company like Zoom Video Communications, Atlassian, ServiceNow should all do well. Microsoft should see increased adoption of its Office 365 suite and Microsoft Teams in particular. Cloudflare is a recent IPO. They're going to see really strong demand for their cloud-based security solutions. Peloton sells virtual gym equipment and solutions. They're going to see really strong demand. DocuSign helps people get agreements done in a virtual space. And then finally, really all the e-commerce companies should see increased interest in their services and will just drive more and more online purchasing of goods and services.
Jonathan, just to ask you a slightly off-tangent question, I wonder if you factored the breakup of big tech from the presidential race into your models. Now that Elizabeth Warren is out of the race and Bernie Sanders looks as though as well, and Joe Biden seems to be the face of moderation, do you think that you're slightly more relieved that these breakup issues is not on the table right now?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the two candidates you highlighted were definitely much more aggressive on this front. We think that the tech companies, the ones that aggregate lots and lots of data and engage closer with consumers, have really been doing the responsible thing by being better about disclosing how data is getting used, allowing consumers to control what happens with their data. So I think they've been taking a lot of the right steps to ultimately put off and to deal with some of the regulatory risks that might have been coming at them in the U.S. So we think they've made good progress on that front. But certainly, Vice President Biden has had much more of a moderate tone on this.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, for speaking with us this morning. And that was Jonathan Curtis, Vice President and Portfolio Manager over at Franklin Templeton. Now, interesting his top picks, because they're all centered around this new tendency to kind of work from home, do things in a more, as much as possible without venturing out into the wider world. I liked his choice of Peloton, which is virtual gym equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that this trend of digitalization of the economy has been happening for a very, very long time. We're talking about a 20, 30 year trend already, and it would not stop in the short term. But in the short term, we have problems, right? And COVID is one of them. The oil price is another of it. So it's a question of whether government stimulus packages from around the world will be able to spur people into action in going out there to continue mm-hmm. buying your tech stuff. But in the meantime, the long-term trend, I believe, hasn't ended for tech.
No, and I think we're, you know, despite this short-term kind of price correction on NASDAQ, there are going to be some players that will benefit, and I think they will be like the way people will work, you know, where, regardless of whether COVID-19, you know, I mean, whether it's contained or not contained, these applications will be become part and parcel of life, right? And we get used to using it. And then I think people also will adopt it for future pandemics because we know that this is not going to go away. This is not going to be the only case. So for example, like Slack, I think a lot of us use it nowadays. I mean, even on BFM. And so there'll be more of these kind of applications. And even though their share price is down, let's say 8% on the year-to-date basis, like the whole NASDAQ, I can see quite a lot of the Wall Street like it because this is the future of work.
Absolutely. But of course, there was also the idea that we were supposed to be heading into a tech supercycle at the end of this year. So how the COVID-19 is going to have an impact on the longer outlook for technology and the tech sector, that's still remains to be seen. There are still a lot of uncertainties surrounding this COVID-19 outbreak. But right now, we are about to head into some messages. And up next, we're diving into Bersatu's presence in Malaysia's cabinet with analysis from Dr. Bridget Welsh of the Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.